Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? The show starts in 10, 9, 8, 7, 6.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Culture Shock Entertainment Report. I am Beth, a.k.a. Be True, and my cousin Linda, straight out of Big D, is online. This is a prime time, 7 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time broadcast. So a big shout out and a big hello and happy summer to worldwide listeners. Big shout out to Big D, Jack Crown, all listeners, all supporters from villages to big cities, we thank you for your support. So, of course, we're talking about hot topics, and hot topics are definitely happening, from the good to the not so good. And Cousin Linda will be sharing some experiences that she has had in the past recent weeks. She and her friends, the Mass Seniors, can't wait to hear her talk about her experience. Fabulous upscale restaurant in downtown Big Dallas, which you all heard us talk about during the last broadcast. And y'all, we have been experiencing technical difficulties, and we're back and stronger than ever, and we really love your support. You can email us at cultureshock, KULTRESHOKENT_Beth@yahoo.com. So, connecting with Cousin Linda. Also, cannot go any farther without sending prayers to our friends in Miami-Dade County, Florida. We are definitely praying for you all and the mayor and the first responders and those that are, I mean, we're just praying for more, that we find life, right? We're praying to find, to recover. Because the first responders say that individuals can live for days on and they can still hear groaning and sound. So hopefully we will we'll find survivors. I'm just speechless. Cousin Linda, are you on?
I am.
Yes. How are you?
I'm doing keen. You sound fine.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Oh, Beth, I got an alarm clock. I had set the alarm to go off at 7.
It is going off?
Yeah. That was to make sure I didn't miss the broadcast.
Yes, at 7, I clocked, I chimed in. I didn't see you in yet, and I had to walk away. And when I came back, I seen you had called in. And I was like, yay, goody. So I didn't know if you had a lunch or a dinner reservation for this evening or whatever, but I had hoped you would call in.
99.9% of the time, I don't have one. I was talking to my friend Jerry, who does my taxes for me, and IRS sent me a letter and let me know that a mistake was made. So anyway, when I called him to let him know, and he had to check on things for me, and we found out that there is an error on my taxes. So he was asking me, it was one day this past week up in the day, and he was saying, well, what are you doing? And I said, nothing, just sitting here watching TV and on YouTube. Do you ever go anywhere? Do you ever do anything? Yes, Jerry, I do. Every time I call you, you're sitting at home, you ain't doing nothing, and you ain't going nowhere.
Oh, so, my goodness.
Because he's always going somewhere. He has a bunch of friends. And they travel all around the world, and he plays baseball, and he's in a bowling league, and I'm just content and happy to be at home.
But, But does he know you're a worldwide traveler too, a jet setter? He was apparently not.
Yeah, he knows, but he's somebody who has to do something, it seems like, at least two or three times a week.
Oh.
And at this point in my life,
hey, don't write us off, Jerry. You know, the near future with Cousin Linda and I.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of content at home, especially in this hot weather. I don't need to be out there because when I do something, I'll leave home early in the morning, you know, running errands and stuff, and I'll get back. No, I try to be home no later than 1:30 or 2 o'clock.
Exactly, so, right. Today was my off day, and a big shout-out to Massage Envy, those all across the country. You all have been training close to a month at Massage Envy as a front desk wellness consultant, and check out your nearest location. I found the one near Cousin Linda for her, so I hope she gets an opportunity. She and on one of those girls Saturdays out, she and her friends experienced Massage Envy. So
I hadn't thought of that, Beth, because we're planning another lunch for next month. See in the next
and you
month.
Should get,
and we're gonna have to do that. Get the,
you
I said,
should
we're
make
gonna have to do
a
that.
Pamper day, a pamper and lunch day.
Yeah, we need to do that. We'll probably plan that for August then.
Yes. Yes, my birthday month. Yes, I plan to get a massage on my birthday. Yes, and one of the therapists did give me a massage. And those of you that are members of Massage Envy, you all, I know you love it. And those of you that have never experienced, definitely experience it. Facials and you can get massages like you and the mass seniors, you all can get facials and massages together. Just call and say you want them to do a girls afternoon, and it would be, you would just love it. And then go to lunch, I guess. I guess lunch would be good afterwards.
Oh, okay.
Unless you all might want to do lunch first and then after.
Yeah,
it depends.
I don't know how that's going to work, because usually after a massage, I just want to come home and get in the bed.
And go to sleep. Exactly. Lunch first, then the massage.
Yeah, so relaxed.
Right, because when the guests walk out, they are in utopia. And those that schedule from, like, doing lunch hour, they're like, I'm not going back to work.
I'm telling you. No, I couldn't do one on my lunch break because they definitely wouldn't see me back at work.
Right.
Because you know the way your skin is oiled and it's so silky smooth feeling and you're just so relaxed. It's been quite a while since I've had a massage. I really need one.
Yes.
You got any pricing in there?
I
was just asking if you had any prices. I'm sure they probably vary from from city to city, but have you
it's the same
got
city
any estimates?
Some cities might have a different package, but it's the same. If you join in Dallas, then when you travel across the country, your membership is valid all around the country. When you member, but there's an intro rate of $65, and when you become a member, it's $65 or $55 monthly. If you're a non-member, it's $115. And this market is a hot market. The location that I'm at, it is one of it is in the top 10 in the country, and we are looking for. I mean, business is booming. The managers are even have a very lucrative relocation package for massage therapists, licensed massage therapists, to come to the Jackson market. Because we're in the top 10 market and already have about 16 massage therapists, but need many more. Because so many people are so stressed due to this pandemic. Not just looking in the Jackson market, but if you're in New York and in Dallas and you feel, hey, I need to be in a booming market, Jackson is a booming market. And the pay is lucrative and everything. But let them know that I recommended you too, because I get a referral bonus. Yay.
Oh, good. Well, now, I know two guys. One lives in Florida,
you know,
and one is...
I think that Dallas market is booming, too. I just know it. Well, all the markets are booming.
I guess so, but I was just going to say that these two men that I know who are members of Massage Envy, and they just highly recommend it because several years ago, my former hairdresser, Clarence, had recommended Massage Envy to me. And it was, I think, $99. Yeah, but you had to go every month, and it was not something that I was prepared to do. So you can't just go in just one time. You have to become a member.
If you don't come monthly, guess what? Your hours add up. They are accrued. And then, like, if you miss 4 months, you will have 4 hours that you need to make up for.
But what I'm saying is you have to become a member. It's no just, I think.
You don't have to, but if you become a member, you pay much more, $115, which is worth it. But you know how we are. Mm-hmm. We like to. You know, $65 is much better than $115.
Well, you like I said, now I might not be able to go every month.
Right.
And some of the other listeners might not. Well, you know, I don't know your listeners.
But then,
might
you
be
like, you don't want to go 1 month. You can transfer it to one of your friend girls, or to Jerry. you could transfer your hours. You can even transfer, like, if a friend has never been, or you just want to give somebody a gift. That happens a lot, too. People get gifts. Like, well, I want to give one of my hours to my boss. There is a guy that worked in ER at UMC. My, like, third day, it was just so touching. He would give his coworkers, fellow nurses and doctors, department with massages. Because they work in the COVID section of ER.
They definitely
and
need
because they are so stressed, and he gives an hour to his coworkers to get massages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now I used to get facials every 2 weeks because I used to get my eyebrows waxed. I used to go to this salon up in Plano. And this lady named Pam used to do my facials and wax my eyebrows and everything. But I think I had gone to her for about 2 years, but I stopped going. I just, you know, hadn't taken the time to pamper myself like I used to. So I do need to get back into that. And I haven't told anybody, Bethany. You will be the first to know. I'm planning on getting back into the job market.
Yay!
Yeah, since you're going back to work, I said, I guess I could go back. I really don't want to, but I kind of have to because I want to take some more trips to Dubai and places like that.
And I
want to
travel with you. So I'm like, I need to earn this money so I can travel with Cousin Linda. And we still need to win that lottery, too. But let's hear this.
Huh?
I said, let's hear this about you deciding to. So, what are you?
Well, I'm going to go back into the customer service field.
Yeah.
And and a company called and offered me a position, which I accepted. But I'm going through that background check and stuff, and they're giving me the third degree. Like I have to be fingerprinted by a representative of the FBI, I think.
Right.
I know I have to be fingerprinted. Yeah, they're having to do a whole bunch of background checks, and I've had to submit all kinds of references. Two of them had to be at least a supervisor or a manager. My goodness, normally when they say references, you know, you can just throw somebody out there. Your neighbor, your coworker, former coworker, or something like that. But, oh, no. It is quite an intense background check that they're doing, so I'm hoping everything works out, and
but
then
we are
I will
praying.
Rejoin. Yes, I'll rejoin the workforce, and then I can start back doing my international travel.
And little cubs can tag along because I'm like I need to earn this money, and Tommy still needs me at the store over there, so I'm like okay. Because right before I got this job, Tommy was like, I need you to come manage the store, you know? And I'm like, it can happen. We can work things out. we need to expand over here to Mississippi, his store, out of Africa Imports. We have stores there and stores here. But I love Massage Envy, and they love me, and I'm praying to get my esthetician license soon. And you know what they liked about my interview is what you specialize in, about my my application. Because when I responded to their application, I just answered honestly. You know how sometimes you can reply in a cookie cutter manner, like everybody else gets the same answers. When I responded to their application, I just decided to be myself and answer the questions honestly. And so I talked about my experience in customer service and going back to school to get my esthetician license. And that is something that my general manager and the upper managers and the managers in training and the therapists and all love. So there's something about that customer service. People can say customer service does not matter, but I know you are an expert in customer service, because when I was a little girl and you would teach me how to have certain type of mannerisms, you were high on then in treating customers and treating people right.
Yes, because I know how I want to be treated. When I started my career as a long-distance operator at South Central Bell, they drummed into you customer service. And I didn't like it at the time because it was so strict to me. You know, they had this attitude that the customer is always right, and a lot of times the customer was not right, but you had to go ahead and act as though they were always right. But after I stayed there, you know, for a while, I began to see how you treat people. You treat people like you want to be treated, because when I try to do business with companies and I get a curt or a less than friendly customer service representative, I don't appreciate it. And I will do a survey in a New York minute. If I get excellent service, I am more than happy to give an excellent review. It's like when I go out to a restaurant to eat, if service is spectacular, I'm already going to leave a nice tip anyway, unless service was just horrible, which most of the time it isn't. And, if you give me good service.
I'm glad you mentioned that. When service is horrible, what do you leave?
Something very minimal. I remember reading Ann Landers years ago, and Ann Landers was like, leave a penny or don't leave anything. And I hate not to leave anything, but I think a penny is a good idea because it's an insult to that server. But that ought to wake them up and let them know that they gave you less than stellar service. And when you're working with the public and your livelihood is dependent upon tips, it seems to me that you need to bend over backwards, because when we were at Newsret Salt Bay's restaurant in downtown Dallas, server was just wonderful.
Oh, my God, your pictures were just spectacular.
Oh, really? Thank you. Yeah. And even the guy that brought the dessert out with all that smoke and stuff, he was just as nice and was friendly. Because usually when you get baklava, it comes in little bitty pieces in a box, little square or little diamond-shaped pieces. But this was served, you know, like a slice. It was warm, and he split it open and put ice cream on the inside. And he did that for each individual. And I just thought service was really good. I had read some bad reviews, and people were saying that the food wasn't good. It was overpriced, and they just didn't like it. But I enjoyed every minute of it. And from the hostesses who told us where our seats were, and then a person that came and brought us to our seats, and our server, I just can't say enough good stuff about them.
Oh, that is wonderful. What did you all order?
Burgers.
And I bet you.
Yeah, they were very good. We didn't go for the $1,000 steak and the $300 burger. Because when I had invited some of my other female friends and I had shown them the videos from YouTube, and oh, my goodness, I'm not paying $1,000 for a steak. That food is too expensive. And I said, well, you can get a hamburger for, at the time, I thought the hamburgers were $25, because that's what I had seen on the menu.
And what you tried
by 30. $30. But we got a special
guest.
I would
have been licking the plate. You would have said, now what did I teach you?
We got a
of that $30.
when the server came over and he began explaining all these steaks to us, because it's a steakhouse, and I wouldn't even let him finish. I said, we're not having steaks. I said, we're having burgers. And so he said, oh, no problem. And I said, well, I want the $25 Newsret burger, well done. And so, and my friend Jamie was saying, Aunt Linda, you don't want to tell him that you want the cheapest thing on the menu or what. I said, yes, I do. I don't want them to accidentally bring me that $300 burger or that $1,000 steak. I want to make sure he knows that I get the $25 burger. He said, the burger is no longer $25. It's $30 now. I said, okay, I want the $30 burger and some fries and a Coke. I said, and that's it. I can't afford anything else. And he said, well, actually, we have a special. They had some kind of mocktail. I don't think it had alcohol in it, but they fixed it up like a cocktail.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I had to order the fries separately because the fries were $19. And so he told me they had a special where you could get the cocktail, which, you know, had all these different juices and stuff in it, and the burger and the fries and the dessert, because baklava, I think, was $25. A little slice of baklava was $25. And we got all that for, I think it was $50. Yeah. And you know, by my being honest and upfront with the server, telling him that, look, we didn't come in here to spend no $300 or $400. We can't afford the $1,000 steak. And we were not pretentious. And he just explained, because he didn't have to tell us about that special, because we could have ordered everything a la carte and paid way more money. But he was an excellent server, you know, and we just really appreciated that. And he was not condescending. It wasn't like, oh, y'all, you know, these are some poor folks right here. We you know, they're not going to order anything but some burgers, so I'm not going to give them the best service. It was not like that at all. Service was magnificent, just wonderful. And we really appreciated it. And, of course, since it was a party of five, they had already included an 18% tip. But, of course, we tipped on top of that. So that's what I'm saying. You know, if you give good service, then you're going to be on the receiving end of some good benefits. But if you give lousy service, because he could have come out there and said, okay, they just going to order some burgers. I'll just treat them like, you know, just somebody off the street. Because there were about five other ladies who came in and sat across from us. They looked at the menu and they got up and left.
Really?
So, I think the prices might have been too high for them. And they probably didn't ask, you know, is it something on here that we can afford? Because I said, we were expecting to pay about $100 a piece if we had gotten everything a la carte. But
with
I think
the special,
the
you all paid $50 a piece or 60?
$50 a piece.
Well, that was good. Oh my goodness,
it was.
Yes. Because I was expecting you all to pay like $150 a piece. Seriously.
Well, we had counted on $100 a piece plus, you know, about a 15% to 20% tip depending on how service was.
Right.
And I didn't think we weren't really expecting good service when we were going to go in there and just order some hamburgers. But
and you make
a
good point. Sometimes restaurant, upscale restaurants, they feel like, oh, our reputation is beyond us. We can treat people anyway. But they treat everybody with respect and dignity and just good customer service.
Uh-huh. They were really nice because when we came in and I told her, you know, that we were the Mass seniors, we were some senior citizen ladies, and we really wanted to take pictures. She said, feel free to get up and walk around. Go, you all walk through the place, do whatever you want to do.
Oh,
take as many pictures
good.
as you want.
Anyway, where? Because some places uh-huh. like that, you know, there's designated areas where you could take pictures. Wow.
She said, you all can take pictures anywhere. And while you're waiting for your server, you know, if you want to get up and start taking pictures and walk around, just look at the restaurant. And we were like, ooh, she's so nice.
Oh, my goodness. That is
uh-huh.
good, sir.
And
there's some restaurants uh-huh. here that are not upscale. Uh-huh. You can't do that here.
Uh-huh. And then one of the guys that was serving the baklava, it was two people that were serving the baklava, and so they saw us taking pictures and asking Jamie to take pictures, and they offered to take the pictures for us. And we were like, oh, really? Okay. So, yeah, the employees took our pictures. They were just really nice. I have nothing but good things to say about Salt Bay's restaurant.
Yay, and I'm glad Jamie made it. So what did he think?
He wasn't happy, but Jamie is finicky.
Oh no,
he doesn't like anything. He's like Mikey or whatever that little boy's name was in the cereal. He hates everything.
As much as he loves to do things, I would think the opposite. Oh my goodness,
loves to go out and eat. I talked to him today, and he was going over to a friend of his house. They were having, I think it was his friend's parents' anniversary or something. They were having a fish fry. And he didn't want to go. And I said, well, you know, that's your dear friend, and you need to go on and go. But he didn't want to go. But he ended up going anyway. So I hope he goes over there and eats some fried fish and be happy about it. But now sometimes
some
of the restaurants.
He was not impressed
huh?
by the restaurant. He was not impressed. Oh,
not
my God.
He swears the burger was too dry.
That is
now,
scary.
Terry is like that.
It's hard to
really?
Impress. Yes, hard to impress. Oh, wow.
Well, now, me and my three lady friends, we were very impressed with the burgers.
And look, and I was up with you all the entire day. So, oh, my God, I definitely was with you in spirit. I just knew. I was so excited.
You would have loved it, Beth.
Wow. So did you all buy any souvenirs, or did they give like a souvenir or?
No, the only thing they had was some real long toothpicks with the name of the restaurant on them, and we brought them out like they were souvenirs. Toothpicks. But they were toothpicks about 6 or 7 inches long that they had in the burgers, you know, to,
uh-huh.
I guess, keep the bun on the burger. And the burger had fried, crispy fried onions on them. I enjoyed it. It was good.
Yummy. And
it was a real thick burger.
They must use Angus beef.
I don't know what kind of beef it is. I don't know if it's imported from Turkey or whatever, but it's not just your old run-of-the-mill ground beef.
Yes, that's the $30.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And
wow.
The French fries were very good. It was just nice. Nice presentation and everything. Jamie ordered, he always wants appetizers. So he ordered a crab cake. And Khalifa, one of my friends, hadn't arrived at the time. And so it was just four of us at the table. So the waiter, Jamie, ordered that one crab cake because I think it was about $40.
Oh, that
and
was my
waiter.
I love crab cake and seafood.
Mm-hmm.
I wondered how much and, were items like that.
Real high. And anyway, the server, we did not ask him, but he volunteered to cut it evenly in four pieces for us. And even though we had one-fourth, he served it on an individual plate for us, which he did not have to do because Jamie ordered the crab cake. And, you know, he could have just brought it out there for Jamie on one little plate and let Jamie cut it. But the server, no, he cut it up in four even pieces for us.
Right. That was really kind. Now, you're talking about good customer service. Yeah, most definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But those of
so
you.
Maybe
best what?
Oh, I was just going to say, maybe one day when you're over here in Dallas, you and I can go down there and get the $1,000 gold steak.
Yes. yes. Look, yes. Let's. What is it called? Manifestation. Let's manifest this. Because
okay.
I want to taste that steak. I want $1,000, and we love steak, too. I'm probably listening to the podcast saying that. But I haven't had any steak recently after being diagnosed with high blood pressure. So, yes, you're right. We deserve $1,000. Getting back in the job market, we deserve $1,000 steak.
Yeah, we got to splurge on something. And
right.
Beth, seriously, I hope you and I can get together and go to Dubai because they've got so many things added, you know, since I was there. They've added other attractions and stuff. So,
and I've heard from the beginning that it's that's one place that's handled COVID. So I feel safe going to Dubai too.
Every aspect of the word. You can be alone on the street, and nobody's going to bother you. Now, there may be some area, you know, way, way, way out on the outskirts of town that you might not want to be after sundown, perhaps, but it was a very safe city. People there are very friendly because it's very international. There are only a few, and when I say a few, like when you go to a city, most of the people that are there are natives or people who actually live there. But in Dubai, most of the people are workers from different parts of the world.
Oh.
From a lot of different countries.
And I bet that alone is a beautiful experience, to see so many people congregate in an area to work in the hospitality industry.
Yeah, we met people from Bangladesh and India, from South Africa. And we had a tour guide. I don't know where she was from. Her accent was extremely thick. We could kind of hardly understand what she was saying. But she was not from there either. In fact, she was telling us that I think Dubai doesn't have but about, maybe 100,000 citizens. And the rest of the people there are workers from other countries.
Wow. Are you serious? I thought Dubai was like a metropolitan. Wow.
Well, it's metropolitan and cosmopolitan and all that, but they don't have a lot of citizens.
Millions. I thought, but you're saying 100,000 in the natives. Those
native
are actually
people
there. Wow.
Yeah, people who were actually born there. And she was telling us that the sheik pays all of the citizens the equivalent of $5,000 a month, tax free.
Oh.
Their homes are free. Their education is free. Their health care is free. And I was saying, why could I have been born?
Whenever I watch documentaries and specials, everybody looks so happy there. So now I know why.
Yes.
No one's
and you have
broke.
A lot of people.
And no one's broke if they have all that.
Well, they say, you know, it's a facade because they say the people that actually build those tall buildings who come in from Bangladesh and maybe Pakistan, so they don't make but about the equivalent
of English
three.
People, I think a lot of my UK friends, I think a lot of people from the UK go in and develop business.
They do. They have a lot of people from the UK there. But now they say the people who actually build those buildings, they say that they're not treated real well. And I have seen on TV how 12 or 13 of them may have to live in a one-room hotel or whatever. And so they only make $300 to maybe $600 a month, and then they send most of that back home to their countries. But our tour guide was saying And, you know, she said, well, $300 a month doesn't sound like a lot to you, but to these people, that's a lot of money. But I don't think that is a good way to treat people, because those are some highly skilled workers to build those buildings. And for them to have to live in cramped surroundings, I don't agree with that, but that's not my business.
Right. I don't agree with that.
It's just a fact of life. Uh-huh. But you have that option. If you want to go there, you know you're going to only be making X amount of dollars, and you know the conditions. But if you want to, you know, go there and do that, that's what you signed up for. So it's, you know, it's just like accepting a job. So you don't want a job paying $6 an hour, but if you agree to it, you know, you can't complain about it.
Right.
But, there were a lot of people from Africa there. And on the Emirates flight, the flight attendants, all of them were from somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, because I don't think the Emirati citizens, I don't really think that they work.
You know what?
I mean, like, you know,
when you mentioned that, I thought about that. I'm like, wait a second. Okay.
Yeah, the sheik is paying for everything. I wouldn't work either.
Right. Right. Because I know when my second husband and I married, who, you know, so some people say, well, you don't have to work. Yeah, you don't have to work. Why do you have to work? But when when people come from Dubai and from Egypt and royalty, when they come to America, they want to live the American way.
I don't know why.
Right.
It ain't easy.
Right.
Mm-mm.
But yes,
I see a lot of people want to come to America, and I said, well, if I had an option, I wouldn't come here. I'd go somewhere else, because in other countries they get that 30-day vacation, paid vacation a year.
Right.
Most
right.
places have free health care. They have parental leave and, you know, maternity
yep.
and paternity leave things.
And dad, the fathers do too. Here, you know, people have to argue for fathers to have leave.
Now, the federal government has started giving those benefits, but private industry doesn't. And I know all those years I worked for the phone company, we didn't have sick days. You had to go to work sick, dead, or whatever. And, you know, then 1 year the union supposedly got us sick time, but it wasn't sick time because you had to put in advance for it. And people were like, well, how do you know in advance you're going to be sick? Now, if you're going to have surgery or something like that, or go out on maternity leave. But, you know, like you wake up one morning and you don't feel well and you don't want to go to work and you have sick time. No, we didn't have that as a telephone company. There was no sick time at all. You went to work. Because I remember many a day I went to work not feeling well.
Wow, Cousin Linda, I would have thought you had the best benefits. All type of sick days back in the day.
No, no. And then, you know, here a lot of times you have to work on a job 1 year to get 1 week of paid vacation.
Right.
Other even third world countries, they get that 30 days paid vacation a year.
Well, America, this is the American dream, land of the free. We definitely need to reconsider our system.
Well, I've talked to people who come here from other countries, and for them, it's about what they perceive as freedom. It was a guy who was from some Arab-speaking country, and he was saying that being in the United States, he could say whatever he wanted to say. And I said to myself, I don't know. I think I could live in them other countries. You know, I ain't got to say what I want to say. I don't have to speak out against the government.
Even me, with my big mouth, person, I don't have to say anything. If I'm living good, I have no complaints, baby.
And, you know, I look at people like Hong Kong. I feel so sorry for them because for years, that was the British Crown colony of Hong Kong. And they were free. They could do whatever they wanted to do, pretty much say whatever they wanted to say. And my first trip going there, I met a young lady on the plane, and she had been going to school in Louisiana, and she was going back to Hong Kong because she and her parents and her brother were going to move to Australia. And so I was wondering, you know, I'd never been to Hong Kong, didn't know anything about it.
I'm glad you mentioned Australia, but get back on your topic. But have you ever been to Australia? Because I would love to go there.
Yeah, she was saying that the communist government, China, was going to take over. Now, this was in 1983. And she said the communist government was going to take over Hong Kong in 1997, and they were getting out while they could. So I'm thinking, well, even if that occurs, Hong Kong is free, and maybe the Chinese will leave it like it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I had, you know, I went 5 times back-to-back in a row, and then there were some years that I didn't go. So the last time I went to Hong Kong, I think, was in 1994, approaching 1997. Beth, it was like the difference between night and day.
Oh, my goodness.
A lot of businesses had closed. And look, it used to be tax-free. You didn't pay taxes on anything. Everything was dirt cheap. I mean, you know how much stuff I used to bring back from Hong Kong with very few dollars.
Yes.
And everything was expensive, and they had come up with this value-added tax, which is what a lot of, you know, countries have around the world, the VAT. China, in Hong Kong, I'm paying taxes. Places were expensive. And so one lady I had gone to get my legs waxed, and she was really talking about the government, you know, how, because I was saying so many businesses that I used to go to and shop were no longer there. And she was telling me that people had left Hong Kong because they were trying to leave before the communists took over. And, you know, over the years, you've seen how the people have been protesting in Hong Kong. And then I don't know if you saw on the news where they just arrested the owner of, I think it's Apple newspaper, where the owner had criticized the government and stuff. So I guess people see that as some type of oppression. But like I said, me, if the government says you can't criticize them and can't talk about them, you know, are we going to kill you or imprison you for life, I keep my mouth shut.
Yes.
It's just that. But they want to come to America because they want to be able to speak freely or whatever. And I'm like, it's not that wonderful to be able to criticize the government. But I've never lived under a communist regime or whatever, you know, even with our background from slavery. And Jim Crow, we still have had the right to speak out against the government and to protest and stuff. So I don't know. I guess it's just a trade-off. But definitely for me, if I lived in a communist oppressive regime country, I would not criticize them. Like Navalny, the Russian man who went back to Russia and Putin had him imprisoned.
Oh, yeah.
See, I would not have gone back. There is no way I'm going to give up my freedom voluntarily. I'm sorry.
Right.
The
consequences are not pretty.
No. Now, if it was something like what I went through during the civil rights movement, you know, that's totally different from what we went through.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew we were not going to be there forever. But there's no way in the world I'd go up against Putin. No way. But some people, you know, they feel that strongly about they want certain freedoms.
Yes, America, home of the free.
Yeah, land of the free and home of
right. Is it home of the free, land of the brave? Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm. And you know me, I from elementary, I always try to look at America through what they call it, rose-colored glasses.
Rose-colored glasses.
Oh, we're the melting pot. You know, we have so many people from around the world, and even listeners of the show, you know, they really love America. And we love America. We're saying we're proud mm-hmm. Americans, but we have a checkered past. Cousin Linda was part of the civil rights movement, literally marched with America ever. So we love it here. We're not complaining. We're not saying we are against America, but there are countries, and Cousin Linda been a world traveler. There are places that she's saying that it's, you're more free than America in some instances.
Well, you have better benefits, you know.
More freedom in some areas of life.
I don't know if it's...
Especially when it comes to health care and self-care. What we were talking about earlier, wellness and self-care is very important. So America, it sounds like, need to focus, too, on the well-being of the citizens.
Yeah, I think corporations could see employees more as people rather than something that's disposable. We can get rid of you immediately. You know, you have no rights as a worker, whereas in some other countries, and you know, that may be true there too. But like I said, I'm just looking at the health care and maternity leave and paternity leave and that 30-day vacation. And when they, you know, when it's a holiday, they actually enjoy a holiday. Here, a holiday is about making money for businesses. You know, one holiday, it hadn't even been gone a day or two before they're celebrating, you know, they're advertising for the next holiday.
Right. A point like, you made during the last broadcast, how certain holidays are just, like Memorial Day, a fact that you mentioned, mm-hmm. how it turned it into
Memorial Day.
We have 4th of July coming up. It's all about money. June 10th is a federal holiday now. Prayerfully, people don't turn it into about money, that, you know, that we'll stay true to what it means.
They're going to be selling T-shirts and trinkets, and it's all about consumerism.
Right.
And so at my age, when I was coming up, a holiday actually meant something. The businesses
right.
were closed. Now, it's Christmas Day. Okay, so what is Christmas? We're open 24 hours. And this rush on Black Friday. Black Friday, you know, used to be, what, the day after Thanksgiving? You have Black Friday
Black Friday month.
Of the year. Yeah, every month is not Black Friday.
Now it started before Thanksgiving, like 3 weeks before.
Well, I said about 5 months of the year is Black Friday.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, you're right. It does start really early.
Yeah, and I was looking at a video on Israel today, and they have, I don't know if it was Memorial Day or Memoriam Day and some other day, where they stop, they pause, and pay reference or whatever to people who have been deceased from wars or maybe victims of terrorist attacks or something. And they take the Sabbath day very seriously, you know, from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday. Orthodox Jews don't even turn on light switches, don't answer the phone or whatever. You know, I really like that observance. It means something.
Right.
And public transportation is not running. But here, okay, so we do have different Sabbath days in this. Well, we have different people or different religious persuasions that observe different days for the Sabbath. But supposedly in this country,
some
Sunday,
Friday, some Saturday, some Sunday.
Yeah, but, you know, pretty much since it's being a Christian country, Sunday, well, I would say about 85% of people in this country believe that Sunday is the Sabbath. Now, I'm glad they did away with blue laws, but it's just like we don't take time off for nothing, for
right.
nobody. And even Christmas, which, you know, I personally, my
a big
religion
shout
believes,
out to companies that do not open on Sundays. A big shout like Chick-fil-A, Your Keep that's based in Mississippi.
Well,
when I worked for Keep in Sherman, closed on Sundays.
That's
something that we should talk about. We need
business
companies that do not open on Sundays.
Well, yeah, that's that particular business owner. You know, the guy who, Mr. Kathy, I think, who started AAA, he's in Hobby Lobby, you know, Christian people who, now, you know, and I'm saying Christian in quotes, because, like I said, Sunday for them and Weir's Furniture Store here in Dallas.
Uh-huh.
Sunday is their Sabbath day, and they don't operate their businesses. But the country as a whole, we don't shut down for nothing.
And you would think America, I see your point when you bring things to my attention now. But then America is all about in God we trust. We're founded on God, on belief in God. But you make a good point now. But when they come to... As long as it's in God, we trust the money. That's how we look at it. Well, America look at it now, it seems. Oh.
Yeah, and see, and that's so ingrained in people, because when I try to, you know, give them my views, yeah, but it's about making money. I'm like, they're not true. I do, you know, they say the love of money is the root of all evil. You have to have money anywhere you are. I don't care what country you're in. You have to have some money. I have no problem with that. But there are other things in life, you know, like enjoying time with your family or your neighbors. Remember when we were coming up and we knew our neighbors?
Right.
And we got together. You know, I'm not saying that we had block parties, but in some cities there were block parties. And people
had fish fries and barbecues and gatherings, and you rarely see that now. And you would see, like, every household doing the same thing.
Making money. And with this 24/7 work environment, you know, mom might work 8 to 5 and dad's working 4 to midnight, and you can't really have that quality of family life like there used to be. And it's everybody is after the almighty dollar. Now, me, I'm single. I don't have any children. I don't even have Henri anymore. So I can make money. I can work 24/7 if I want to.
Right.
But when you have little bitty children, I think it's sad that the kids have to get up so early in the morning and be dropped off at the daycare center. And mom and dad have to go off to work. And then when they get off work, you know, they're tired. They don't want to be bothered with the children. They, you know, go through the fast food drive-through rather than mom at home cooking and preparing a decent meal. So our economy is just so money-based.
Right.
You know, time off. It's a holiday. Give the people some time off. Shut down. But... we'll miss money. We can't close.
Right. If America did shutdowns like other countries, those 30 days that you mentioned, just imagine how much it would just help. I bet we would see a decrease in crime and homicides and everything.
I think if we were more family-centered like we used to be, there may be less crime. Now, you know, guns also contribute a lot to crime.
Right.
The availability of weapons is another problem in this country. And now my friend Laverne, you've seen Laverne on my pictures, right? You know, my traveling friend Laverne. She doesn't want to travel overseas by herself because she says she's afraid And I'm like, if you ain't afraid in America, I don't know what you're talking about. Because
right.
I've gone to all these places.
Last night, I was talking about the crime here in Jackson. It's crazy. I'm like, I never feel unsafe in Dallas. I was really hurt when a friend of mine that was a Dallas PD was killed at a Black Lives event when he was a proponent of Black Lives Matter. But that's the only time I really was like, oh, my God, what is going on with this crime? But that's what I was talking about with Beverly last night. Like, the Jackson, the crime is bad in so many places. So that's something that the mayor and the police chief and spiritual leaders had a meeting this past week about. Gino's sister, who is our council person now, Angel Lee, she put together a meeting where I didn't attend, but so many talked to. The police chief said, well, the crime is not just bad here, but it's bad all across America. But in this medium-sized city, the crime should not be on the level it is.
That doesn't
I feel so much safer in Dallas. You make a good point with Laverne, because how can you feel safe here and then go somewhere else, right?
Yeah, and then when the mayor said, well, it's crime everywhere, because I have friends who say that, and I said, that's a stupid statement to me. We're talking about your city. Yeah,
there's
some
areas
crime
in the city
everywhere.
That there aren't any crime. And in Dallas, there's some areas in Dallas that are so peaceful. And when I lived in Sherman, no homicide. The year I lived there, I think it was a suicide murder where a husband killed his wife and kids. No. Reminded me of Jackson, beautiful city, but the only difference, homicides and high-level crime. But yeah, you know, and the police, they made their presence known, too. When police make their presence known, that helps deter crime.
They're very known in certain areas here. Before I forget, though, you know, Arthur Kane broadcasts about 4 or 5 nights a week, and I usually try to log in on him. And he said something. Hey, yeah, did you make a comment or something? Because he said, Beth and Terry. So I was wondering if you were listening. That was you.
I made a couple of comments. Because, you know, Oath and I are big supporters of one another and love to work together. I even told Oath he would be good in the Dallas market. Because, once he was in the Atlanta market. But he was, do you remember the episode when he had talked about the building up around Westland Plaza and how we need to bring back more the mindset of successful black people, black businesses into the city? And so I made comments when he was talking about that, how he was so right in within the whole city. And I think that was before the mayoral election, too. And I had made a comment. Somebody was asking about. I had made a comment regarding the mayor would definitely be reelected. And because I voted for him and would be reelected. I mean, he's a smart attorney, supportive wife, you know. But he can't do it all by himself. He needs the support of us, the private and the public. And political sectors.
Well, there are so many problems with Jack.
Whenever I chime in, since I see you really follow and watch him, and he and I have, he used to come on the show sometimes on this show. He's been hitting some good topics too recently, and I'm like, wait a second, let me tune in and listen, because there's another guy that's on too called the Cypher Voice. I don't know if you ever listened to him. He's from the Jackson market. And he exposed a lot of stuff, a lot of wrongdoings in the city.
Yeah, Tiffany sent me his link one night, and I don't know what it is or his name or anything.
Tiffany listens to him because one time he did a cleanup at an apartment complex, and I noticed Tiffany come in. In his comment boxes, and I was like, okay, Tiffany listens to him. But he's a longtime friend of mine, but I didn't know anything about his show until Beverly told me to start listening to him. And so I went to one of his rallies at the police department once, and it was very powerful last summer.
Is he on a regular basis or something?
Yes.
I'd like to listen to him.
He's on daily. Edwards. His name is Napoleon Edwards.
Napoleon Edwards, okay, what?
Yes,
is he
that's
on,
his real name. Befriend him on Facebook.
Go to Facebook and
Napoleon Edwards, and then also follow his page, The Cipher Voice.
Okay, spell that for me because I can't understand what you're saying.
I know. I think my headphones are, but I'm so glad I was able to get it where I could call in on my headphones. T-H, the cipher, like cipher, C-I-P-H-E-R, voice.
Okay.
Okay, and his name is Napoleon Edwards. So connect with him at Napoleon Edwards and on his show because he's not scared. He's shameless. He's unfiltered. And if he know anything that's going on, he exposes it.
Yes, he does. That one time I listened to him, I really, really, really enjoyed it.
Yes. He is something. Some things that he says just make my mouth drop. And he's very smart because we grew up, he's from Sub 2. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Sub 2. But I know we grew up together, and he used to shop where I worked in the Metro Center a lot, too. But he's very smart, very smart. So it kind of surprises me how open. But when people are mad at what we are dealing with in society, people will come out. And so he is just showing, he just exposes everything. And he will have a press conference. If people call him or if he sees something, he's out there. He's out there. Mm-hmm. He and David Archie, wow, the politicians, he and David Archie had been having it out in recent months. For others, too. It's like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
But he will expose things. Some things that I believe you agree with, he will expose. Like, why are we not focusing on this? Why aren't we focusing on this when we're not on this? And, I mean, he's just unfiltered.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and he doesn't associate with either political party. So no holds barred regardless of who you are or what party you're affiliated with, too. Because if you're wrong, you're wrong.
Right. And that's what I like. I appreciate honesty.
Right.
If you're wrong. Which is so hard to find.
But yeah, I noticed you were listening to that episode where Otha had talked about the black businesses. And I was kind of surprised that Otha went so in-depth about how we need to, bring back the black businesses. And I added small businesses because the black businesses and small businesses, mom and pop businesses of all races, we all need to come together and work together. Yeah, I just posted some info from the Small Business Administration. I tried to email it to you, and I know I emailed it to you after the broadcast that the SBA has sent to me. And it's like information regarding each state of what the SBA is, programs that the SBA are working on, and the people that you can contact in each state for assistance, just for information. And I think tomorrow is supposed to be International Business Day, and I had no idea, but the SBA sent that email out saying tomorrow, the 27th, is International Business Day, and they're educating people. So, yeah, black businesses, women-owned businesses, veteran-owned businesses, small businesses, but in Jackson, Mississippi, that is a predominantly black city. Yeah, we definitely need to bring business back. So, yeah, I know exactly which episode you were talking about. And that Westland Plaza area, I'm just amazed how it's just booming up and down Ellis Avenue to 80. But then we need to – oh, I know what you're talking about, too. He mentioned the Metro Center. And I asked him if he knew what was going on with the Metro Center. Because a year ago, we thought we had a future with the Metro Center.
Oh,
but the developer Yeah, that woman that said she was going to invest in it, something happened. So
yeah,
now
a lot of people do. I remember when some guys had claimed that they were going to invest in Hotel Wathall, and they get grants and funding, and the next thing you know, they've left town with the money, and nothing ever happens, and
right.
nobody
Those
is
brothers
ever.
That, oh, the Roberts brothers, they owned that radio station. Yes, and now the Wathall is it opened last year. This developer that I, what is his name? Nick Cope, in Las Vegas. He came to Jackson. I think he's from Jackson, but he's a realtor in Las Vegas. So he redeveloped it and turned it into lofts. So they have studio and bedroom apartments. Starting at 50. Right.
A friend of mine was about moving there until I told him what the rent was.
Yeah.
Now, that's something.
I even wanted to go on a tour last year, and I requested a tour last week. So I want to go on a tour. Yeah, the studios are $850, and then the one bedrooms are like $1,150 up.
And I don't understand that expensive rent when it's really not that much to me in downtown Jackson
right.
that can
Same
command those
at the top of the King Edward Hotel. I think the ones at the top of the Hilton at the King Edward, I think their rent started at $1,150.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. That's what you pay in Dallas.
Right.
For those, you know, same size units. And this city has so much more to offer than what you get in Jackson. And, you know, apparently people there think that it's worth it. Now, I'm told that, you know, corporations, the few that are there, probably subsidize some of that for their employees,
right?
Most of it. Because I just don't see the average person saying, I'm going to go live in downtown Jackson and I'm, you know, happy paying this as high as $1,500 rent. That just doesn't make sense. To me.
And that's one reason why Sweetie Pies can stay in her original location, because above the restaurant are apartments that cost like $1,700. And one of my friends is a security guard at that building. He told me, he said, well, it's $1,700, but it's all inclusive. But, you know, $1,700.
Yeah, I mean, you don't pay that for some of your top apartments here in Dallas, and Dallas is a 100% different city from Jackson.
Big city, big
you know,
life.
With
yes.
To offer. And I just, you know, don't see it, but if people there don't have a problem with it, like Michael Payne used to say, they like it, I love it. It's just not for me.
I agree with you. They should do something to make the living more affordable. But there are some other apartments, lofts, that are for creatives. And I think one of my friends lived there. And I think and he told me, because he even mentioned to me if I was interested in living in the creative lofts for artists. It's close to the old lot furniture store, like in that area, across from the King Edward Hotel. And they're like real like deep elm looking. But I think in Dallas they're probably like $600. Right.
I saw them online, but you know, here you have covered parking,
right?
And you have places that you can walk to without being afraid.
Exactly.
And, you know, you're in close proximity to grocery stores, service stations, convenience stores, restaurants, and I just don't see all that. And I have to admit, I haven't been to Jackson since 2016. But from what I remember and from what I see online, you still don't have those kinds of things that people can, you know, participate in.
Right. And I'm always, I know people get tired of always saying, wow, Jackson needs to partner with Dallas. If you know how cities partner with each other, it would be so wonderful.
Well, I think they did, Beth, because North Jackson to me used to look like Dallas.
Yeah. North
because
Dallas,
the same
like where I work at Massage Envy, that looked like Dallas.
Yeah, because even some of the houses that they were building before I left, you know, they were coming up with houses that had alleys in the back of them. That was something that was just totally unheard of. Every driveway or garage in Jackson or whatever was front entry. And then I noticed that they were building houses.
I lived in a house where they had the alley and the garbage truck come through the back street. And I thought that was just so amazing. I'm like, this is unheard of. We need this in Jackson.
Well, and there were some houses.
Good too.
Yeah, there were houses that I saw in Jackson that did have that. And then they came up with the privacy fences. And the restaurants that used to be out on I-55 North, it was a lot of the restaurants from Dallas, like Steak and Ale and Chili's. And I'm trying to think of some of the other ones, but a lot of that was out of Dallas. And those, you know, once those businesses started being bought by different corporate owners or whatever and things changed, they started going down. Because you remember the Dixie House and the Black Eyed Pea?
Oh, yeah, I remember the Black Eyed Pea. I remember the Dixie House. But I definitely remember the Black Eyed Pea.
Well, but they went through changes of ownership, and the food, the quality of the food started going down, and those restaurants went out of business. And you, I don't know, it just seems like it's just about the dollar. It's how much money can we make? And these corporations don't seem to care that when they go out of business, you're messing with people's lives because you're putting people out of work. And, you know, it's only so many, well, now it looks like now every restaurant on the planet is saying we can't find any workers.
Oh, my gosh, Linda, so many restaurants are in the Highland Village and in Maywood Mart, and almost every business, the restaurant or non-restaurant, have hiring signs up. Yes, this manager, you know, restaurant Char in Highland Village?
Yeah.
The prep manager of 25 years there told me that they are having the worst time getting people hired and getting people to stay.
And they don't understand.
And getting people to stay. When they hire them, getting them to stay.
Okay, if they raise the pay, the person is going to stay. And see, that's what really upsets me. All these businesses around here talking about, we can't find anybody. Well, you were paying somebody $2.13 an hour as a server, and you're making them share their tips with the cook, the dishwasher, and whoever else. And, you know, maybe this particular week wasn't such a good week, and they can't live on the tips that they got. Business owners are going to have to wake up and smell the coffee. You want a good employee, you want to keep somebody, you're going to have to pay them. You know, slave labor days are over. And the same thing is going over here in Dallas. We can't find anybody to work. They're lazy. They don't want to work. They want to collect unemployment. That is not true. You know, we were working until COVID came along, and people, you know, me included, lost our job.
Right, because
so,
I know you were one of the ones that worked, like, deep into it.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
But, you know, but pre-COVID, they were paying people $9, $10, $11 an hour. And so now that businesses see that they have to hire people, and what's the problem? Why you don't want to come work for me? Well, when you were paying me that $7 an hour, well, you know, after the COVID thing started, I went and got me a job at the Amazon warehouse, which is not the best place in the world to work, but between, we'll just say $10 an hour and $17 an hour. No, I'm not coming back to you, previous boss.
Right.
I like you. You treat me well, but I can't live on that. And, okay, so I was working at, you know, we'll just say XYZ company. I was making $11.50 an hour. Well, a new company has come to town, and they want to pay me $18.50. So, you know, this business about we can't find employees. No, you can't find them because you don't want to pay them. That's what that is. They won't tell
the
truth.
It's more to the story. It's more to the story.
Oh, it's a lot more to the story. But they want to say people are lazy. No, people are not lazy. If they
right.
were working before COVID, yeah, you got some unemployment or whatever. People needed that. And they keep forgetting, you know, when you're working, you're paying taxes. And with taxes, you're supposed to get some kind of benefit from it. But you have work going on the roads, and people have gotten into that field. Construction is booming. So, you know, I might have been a waiter at whatever restaurant, but, you know, I have some skills. I learned how to lay bricks. So I'm
right.
going to go over here to the construction industry. The medical field needs a lot of people.
Right.
You know, they may need screeners or people to check you in when you come into the hospital. And all these jobs pay well. So why would you go back into the food industry as a server or prep chef or cook or whatever, where you were just barely hanging on before COVID, and now, you know, you're making decent money? No, you're not going back to them low-paying jobs.
Yes, and now people are more conscious about their health. Back to what we were talking about, the importance of having those 30 days and the importance of self-care and health care. Mm-hmm. People are being mindful of their health and their loved one's health now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then people who were having to work in meat processing factories, you know, where they were going to fire those people who were afraid to come to work. You're more concerned about a chicken getting plucked than you are this person who has two or three children at home, and you might take that COVID home to them or to
right.
that elderly parent that you're taking care of. And that's the problem that I have. You know, businesses are only concerned with making money. People are disposable. I can get another employee. Well, that might have happened back in the good old days, but it's a new day.
My general manager who hired me, who initially called me, who put up the app, that's something that she pointed out the other day talking to me and another new hire. She said she's more concerned with the education that we provide, I guess. Making money, being in the top 10% is important. But, you know, we're in the caring business, the care about people. You know, a lot of doctors send their patients to Massage Envy, and then people like you and I that care about our well-being come to Massage Envy. So she pointed out, I'm more concerned about the education than the money, than you all did making the money. Making money is important, but the education and sure that we can help people, that's more important. So, yeah, you and she are talking the same talk. That's important. But America, I was thinking about the Benjamins.
That's all. And, you know, you'll see companies that are in the top, 50 or 60 best companies to work for, and you go online and read some former or current employee reviews, and you really wonder, now, is that really such a place to work? How do they get on that list? Do they pay somebody under the table to get on the list? How does that happen? Well, nobody ever contacted me and asked me, you know, in a survey or whatever, how do you like working for XYZ company?
Uh-huh.
You know, you can't believe everything that you see, read, or hear in the media or the news or whatever.
Right.
So I just blame, you know, all these businesses that's crying about, we can't find nobody, we can't hire anybody, I can't open up fully. Yeah, I bet if you raise that income, that salary, you have folks beating your door down.
And business booming too, so why can't you give them a raise?
Exactly. Exactly.
And business is booming too, that's why you need the workers. That is a good point.
Mhm.
But see, we don't hear that part.
No, and you won't hear that part.
Wow.
Mhm.
Mm. So during our next episode, because you said it's important also for us to talk about the different type of strands of COVID. So
I'm concerned.
This weekend, I mean, we can talk a little now before we conclude the show, but next weekend we'll go in depth regarding, you were talking about the different strands, because there are, how many strands now? We have the...
Well, the that I'm real cognizant about is the India variant, and it's really taken off again, because in certain cities, not necessarily in the United States, but they were saying they were going to have to start back shutting down because it's spreading too quickly.
Right. Because they call it the Delhi strand. There's the, what, the African? What the,
well, Delhi, I think.
Strands, but the most potent right now is the one considered from India, I guess.
South Africa and then India especially.
And
every day,
like you mentioned before, in Brazil, there's something going on in Brazil.
Well, I think that's probably still just regular COVID because their president didn't want to acknowledge the fact that COVID was dangerous.
Right.
Because he didn't shut down anything and people weren't wearing masks or whatever.
Including
even
him.
Though they did he even get COVID?
I think he did get it. I don't know. Maybe not. But I know he was out hugging babies and everything, and he never stopped.
Yeah. Right. And I don't understand that. I really don't.
You're right. So, yeah, so... Definitely, and please call in, you all. We know you're listening. We've had a person in the chat room. So definitely call us during 4th of July episode of Culture Shock Entertainment Reports on next Sunday, July 4th. I'm working tomorrow. I don't work on Sundays, and I'm working tomorrow. So we're on a Saturday night.
Oh, wait a minute. You said you don't work on Sundays, but you're working
tomorrow?
I'm
not working on Sundays now, but I'm working tomorrow. At a massage.
Oh, okay.
So next 4th of July, we'll talk. Oh, I guess we'll talk about the 4th of July. We'll talk about some history because this is a trillion dollar holiday.
I went in Dollar Tree today, and this woman in front of me had about 6 or 7 flags. And the cashier had rung up everything, and she said, let me go back over here. I want to get one more. So I guess we'll be seeing American flags flying everywhere leading up to the holiday.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts regarding Independence Day?
Well, I think after I passed the age of 12 or 13, it was just another day to me. And when I started working, and I had to work so many 4ths of July, until it was just another day. And it's like that with me with most holidays. They can come and go. That's when I worked for the telephone company, I had to work so many holidays. They were just, another day. We just got paid extra, that's all. And a lot of companies don't even pay extra. Yeah, they don't even pay extra because back in the day we used to get paid time and a half for Sundays.
Right.
And holidays, the union got us double time and a half if you worked a holiday. And, Memorial Day.
You're right. Even in retail, I love working holidays. Oh, my goodness, time and a half, then extra money. Oh, yes.
Yeah, but now you work a holiday. A lot of companies, honey, that's just a holiday. No, we don't pay extra for that.
Mm-mm. Like, some people would be like, oh, I don't care if it's a holiday or not. I'm not working. I'm like, oh, wait a second. I don't have any plans. I'm making that money.
Yeah, now that was me. Like I was going to say, some of the holidays when I was at the phone company, they were just another day to me. And because when I first started, every holiday that they gave me off, I took it. Or either if I was scheduled to work, somebody wanted to work for me. And I couldn't understand. I'm like, these people are off. why do they want to work these holidays? They wanted to work and make that extra money. And after I was forced to work some holidays, I couldn't, you know, trade with anybody. Nobody wanted to trade with me, and my hours weren't what they wanted or whatever, and I had to work some holidays. And I saw the difference in my paycheck. I'm like, oh, shoot, yeah, I'll work these holidays.
Right.
And especially, like, over here in Dallas, Thanksgiving and the day after Thanksgiving are generally holidays. And when I was working with Bell and AT&T, we used to get Veterans Day as a holiday. And
uh-huh.
Veterans Day, Thanksgiving, and the day after would all fall in the same pay period.
Ooh,
and,
yes.
Hon, I mean, yes. And if you worked a couple of Sundays, too, because you got time and a half on Sundays,
yes.
I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to work these holidays. Because, you know, I wanted the extra money just like everybody else did.
You make a good point on that. I used to hear people talk about their time and a half, and you don't hear people talking much about time and a half.
Sometimes on
holidays that I expect the garbage truck not to run, I'm thinking – sometimes they can vote. Oh, we'll work time and a half, and so the garbage don't back up. So sometimes I know they work because they maybe voted. Oh, we'll work. So we'll get that time and a half. Plus, we won't be behind schedule. But you don't.
And see,
talk about time and a half now. Oh.
All companies don't observe all federal holidays either, because I worked for a company that we used to, they observed Martin Luther King Day. And that company got bought by another company. The first thing the new company did was said Martin Luther King Day is no longer a holiday. We don't observe that. The prior company and President's Day was a holiday. The new company, President's Day is not a holiday. We don't observe that.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so some folks are getting paid extra, or they're off and get paid. Some other companies, we don't observe them holidays. You're going to work and you don't get any extra money.
Wow. For Massage Envy, they told me up front, they said we're closed major holidays. So people definitely been wanting to book on 4th of July, but we are closed all across the nation. So major holidays, that company, that American company is closed. Yeah.
That is wonderful.
Yes, and, you know, and definitely would make a lot of money if they were open, but we're closed. Nobody's working next Sunday. But people, we're like booked up. People definitely want their massages and their facials.
The employees need time to spend with their families.
Right. Right.
Yeah, I mean, you can go do some fireworks or whatever some other time. You know, people want to be off, want to barbecue and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And some people just want to rest. You know, if it's a day off from work, you just want to rest. We didn't get to talk about Pride Month.
About who?
Pride Month.
Oh, yes. Happy Pride Month. Business celebrations have been off the chain in Dallas.
I haven't seen anything. They probably have. But, you know, I told you about my friend Jerry. Said, you don't do nothing but sit at home. You don't never go nowhere. So
uh-huh.
I'm sure they probably have a lot of activities going on down in Oak Lawn.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So just answer some listeners that might not know about Oak Lawn.
That is the area that pretty much caters to our gay community. You know, it's not exclusively gay, but that is
right.
A large gay area.
Mm-hmm. Right. So if you're a person like myself who love the gay community and the gay community loves you back, I mean, you know, it's the community. I know when I was a young person, a little teenager, you all told me that was the area in Oak Lawn. And it's a beautiful area, too. Very beautiful.
And look, and expensive, too. It is not cheap.
Look, we didn't add that part. Yes, it's exclusive.
Yeah, very, very expensive real estate in Oak Lawn.
Right. It's an exclusive area of Dallas.
Yeah, somebody might think, okay, that's the gay community. Okay, it's probably slum. No, not even. No, if you can afford to live in Oak Lawn, you got some bitcoins or whatever.
Right.
Very nice area.
Gay or non-gay, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I used to like to go down there Saturday mornings with one of my gay friends. We used to like to go have coffee and pastry at some of the shops down there, the restaurants, and then would go to different shops. It's really a nice area, very nice.
Right.
Mhm.
So,
and my friend Jerry, the one I was telling you about, he works. He does the cleanup at a bar called Woody's in Oak Lawn.
Uh huh. I feel like I've heard of Woody's.
Yeah.
One of my friends, I want to say he's a exotic dancer at the Tin Room. You know how I love Blueberry Dallas, but he is an exotic dancer. Chris Patrick, who you see on my page, he and his wife are expecting like a fourth or fifth son, but he's an exotic dancer and bartender at the Tin Room, which caters to the gay community, but also women it's open for women too, but it's more exclusive to the gay men community, but women can become patrons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I'm not quite sure. I need to ask him exactly where is the Tin Room. It might be in Oak Lawn.
Okay. I posted some videos, too, today for Pride in Israel. I was posting, because you know I do travel videos every day. I post them on Facebook. And today
I posted one about a week ago that was so cool, showing different celebrities that love to celebrate Pride Month. And I thought it was so cool.
I don't think I saw it.
I have to look for it again. I have to repost it because it just went through the list of the amazing efforts that some of our favorite celebrities do to celebrate and recognize Gay Pride Month, if they're gay or not. You know, but support the community like we do. It's just amazing. I like with Lady Gaga's way of celebrating. Also, Rihanna. I love the way, I don't know if she's in that video, but I love how she loves to celebrate and recognize the LGBTQ. We're adding so many letters now to the community. I'm like, okay.
I'm like,
that is a whole nother topic.
I'm totally ignorant of some of them, because when Janelle Monáe, I think, said she was pansexual, I'm like, I don't have a clue as to what that means.
Right, and she was really good friends with Prince. She was one of his best friends. But yeah, she's pansexual.
Okay.
I think pansexual is about you fall in love with who you fall in love with, and it doesn't matter the gender. I think that's what pansexual is. I didn't know she had said pan. I thought she was bi, but she's pansexual. Okay.
I think she said pansexual, yeah, because that was the first time I ever heard of it. And then there are some people, I was watching the news yesterday, day before, and they had this lady on there who has two children who were gay, and they had just graduated from Stanford, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't want to be identified by the pronouns, him and her, or she and he, or whatever. So I'm like, okay, I give up. After LGBTQ... I have no idea. Just call me ignorant on this. I'm sorry.
Right. And
I don't want to offend anybody and say the wrong thing.
Right. And I have trans friends that they do. They tell me their birth name, but then publicly they like to be known as their, you know, the sex that they choose to be. Like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, because the only thing I knew was drag, when people would be in drag or something.
Oh, my God. You've been reading my mind, because In the 80s and 90s, you know, it was the drag kings and the drag queens, and I myself have, like you, have so many LGBTQ gay friends. And back in the 80s and 90s, they used to use women who would be with gay guys. I don't even want to say the word, but this is our show, a fag hag. So you can't even say words back in the 80s and 90s, oh, it was just a hoot to say it. And for somebody to call you that, but nowadays you can't say that. So, but, I was thinking this morning, it's so many different respectful ways to say things and acknowledge people's way of life.
Yeah, like I said, I'm not up on the latest.
Right.
I know back in the 80s, Michael and them used to like to say they were sissies. Well,
what?
Jamie almost bit my head off when I said something about sissies. It was like, you don't use that word anymore. I said, oh, you don't?
But lesbian friends would say femme or butch. Either you're femme or you're butch.
Yeah. Right. Like I said, I just don't say anything. You know, if you don't tell me, I'm not going to say anything because I do not want to offend anybody. I just don't know.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm like, because that's what I think. You read my mind. I was thinking that earlier today. What are the proper words? And I know some people use non-binary. I guess that's use non-binary. They don't want to be associated with either gender.
Yeah, I think it was in the early 2000s. I used to love to watch Queer as Folk.
Oh.
And then Jamie was telling me that you're not supposed to say queer. I said, well, what does Q stand for in LGBTQ? I thought that was queer. No, they changed that to questioning. I'm like, how in the hell are you supposed to know this?
Thank you, because I didn't know, because they've added a T and an I, too, I think. It's like LGBTQIT.
And
so I'm trying to figure out what is the I and what is the T now. I don't know what those
now.
And then it's a plus sign. Then it's a plus sign at the end. So I guess plus means
plus
whatever.
And then remember back in the day when there was PFLAG, Parents of Lesbians and Gays? I don't ever hear anything about PFLAG anymore.
Right.
I don't know what happened to them. So I used to, you know, keep abreast of it, but I'm so far behind on that now. You know, I just keep my mouth closed. And like, you know, I told you when Jamie bawled me out by saying sissy, I'm like, okay, I'll just hush.
Right.
That was all, you know, Michael and Miss G and Ronnie, Miss Ricky. All of them, they were guys, but they used to love to say they were sisters.
I was watching a Facebook, you're right, I was watching a Facebook Live of this crazy gay makeup artist that's on my page. I have to show you his page because he's in California. And he posts some crazy videos. And so I reshared this video. I'm thinking that it was going to be a G-rated Facebook Live. And he was at a party, a flamboyant party. And they had straws that looked like penises. And he started screaming out to some of his friends. And it was an upscale party. And he started screaming to some of his friends, you sissies. And I was shocked, Cousin Linda, because I hadn't heard people say sissy in a long time. So, yes.
I thought that people still said that, but I guess
right.
Not. So I don't, and I haven't watched RuPaul's Drag Race in a long time because I don't know what channel it comes on. You know, they keep changing my cable lineup, and I don't know what's showing on what. I think it's about five channels that I watch because I have to watch The Rifleman 6 days a week.
Right.
And I was sitting here today because it comes on at 2 o'clock through the week. I'm sitting here waiting for the rifleman, and something else comes on, and I got all panic-stricken. I said, let me call the cable company because they done took MeTV from me.
Uh-huh. Oh, I love MeTV.
Yeah, and so I called. I said, do I still have MeTV, or did y'all take that from me? And they said, no, your MeTV is now on Channel 21, or I think HD. It's Channel 1295. I said, I can't remember that. I can remember 21. But I was like, I can't miss the Rifleman. I have to watch Chuck Connors 6 days a week.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had to let you know where it was. Well, they should inform people.
They used to send out a little listing, but I guess they said they make so many changes, it's too expensive to do that. Because, you know, all these businesses now want you to go to paperless billing. And I refused. One of my insurance companies, my car insurance company, kept begging me to go paperless billing. And I said, no. Next thing I know, I got an email where they told me I was going paperless whether I liked it or not. I said, oh, okay. That's your statements will now come via email. Now, what if I didn't have email or text messaging or whatever? How you going to bill me? It's supposed to come through the mail. I'm not trying to make things cheaper or convenient for you. I'm paying you through the nose for these high rates. But everybody wants to make, you know, companies want to make everything easy for them, and they don't care about the consumer.
Right.
I know it's hard to believe, but I know people who don't have email and don't use
right.
computers and what have you.
Right.
That may seem odd to some people, you know, but you have parts of the population who are over, we'll just say 60, who may have had jobs that did not require the use of a computer. And it's a whole bunch of stuff about computers and cell phones that I would not know had it not been for a person that I used to work with who was a friend of mine named Phoebe. Phoebe had to come over here and show me a whole bunch of stuff because I don't have children and grandchildren, you know, to keep me updated. And some of my friends, you know, try to make fun of people who don't have computers or don't have an email address. And I said, well, you wouldn't either if you didn't have children and grandchildren because I know somebody had to show you how to do it. But, yeah, company said, we will no longer send you a paper bill. You will get your statements through email. I'm going to play like, no, I didn't get it. I don't know where to send it.
Right. Why everybody do not. Everybody don't look at text messages.
So, personally, I hate texting because I don't do it real fast. You know, I see people with them thumbs, and I use my middle finger. And I'm always hitting two letters at a time instead of one.
Right.
So I'm like, I'd rather just pick up the phone and talk to people. But you got folks who, I know, I'd rather text. Gen Xers, I think, are the ones that love to text. Gen Xers and younger.
And millennials.
Yeah, like I said, Gen Xers and younger, people younger than them. Because I think the Gen Xers are probably in their 50s.
Me, I do like text, but I like to talk also. I do enjoy texting, but I was wondering if you text, because
only when I'm forced.
Because I have never texted. I don't think I might have texted you before, but I think I know you prefer talking on the phone.
Yes, and I tell you, with looking for jobs and stuff. Here comes some text messages from, I don't even recognize, who is this? So I'll open it up, you know, I see where you had applied for blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, okay, because a lot of times I wouldn't even read text messages. Because when I had AT&T, that had been my cell phone provider for years, but I had one of the cheapest plans. Well, I'll say it wasn't cheap, but it was what I was trying to afford. And I didn't want to pay for text messaging. So with my little plan, I got 10 free texts a month. And that's when texting was taking off. So I wouldn't text anybody. I told everybody, you want to get in touch with me, you need to talk to me on the phone or send me an email. So anyway, I had got this bill from AT&T Cell, and it had text messaging on there. So I called, got customer service, and she was not friendly. I said, I don't understand these charges for this text messaging because I don't answer texts. She said, you have to pay for them whether you answer them or not. I said, oh, really? So that put a bad taste in my mouth with AT&T. It's like you're going to make me pay for something that I'm not using. And I said if ever a time came that I could get rid of AT&T, I finally did. I switched over to Spectrum because I didn't want to go, you know, to some of the other carriers or whatever. So I stayed with AT&T about 19 years. And when I called to let them know I was switching to another carrier, the customer service rep told me they don't have cell phone service. I said, yes, they do. Yeah, he said, they don't have cell phone service. I said, yes, they do. He said, no, they don't. I said, yes, they do. So when I finally, you know, was able to switch over to Spectrum is who I have now. And I called AT&T.
They
ain't
going to tell you another company don't have.
Exactly. And I mean, I'm like, this is not the AT&T that I was trained under. Because when I worked at, you know, for that company, you better have given good customer service whether you wanted to or not. And like now, it's just a free-for-all. You don't know who you're going to get because half of them don't even work for AT&T. They some third company, third something provider?
Mm-hmm.
Third-party provider. Yeah, AT&T has contracted with other companies. And I don't know if the other companies don't care about their customer service representatives, what kind of service they give, or if they're not paying them enough and people are sitting there saying, well, you know, I ain't making but X number of dollars and so I'm not going to be nice or I'm having a bad, I don't know what it is. But me in the customer service business, if I'm not happy, well, I'm going to quit. I'm not going to sit up here and be rude to your customers because I'm mad at the company. So
right.
I don't know. You know, a lot of people say the customer service has just gone to the dogs. It's just horrible now.
Well, we wish you much luck and, well, many blessings and congratulations on your new gig. Sound like a top-level, high-paying, lucrative position to me.
Yeah, I think so, and I'm hoping that I will just love it and don't get upset and pissed off and want to quit.
Right.
So you know me, I will quit a job in a second. One of my ex-boyfriends told me,
calm down, and it sounded like, Mom, stay calm.
Yeah. Well, this guy that I used to date, and we had broken up, but we were still friends. And so he called me one time. He said, you still working for so-and-so and so? And I said, yeah, why do you ask? He said, because you know you look around and say, I don't like the wallpaper. I quit. And I said, well, it's not quite that bad. I said, but if I'm not happy, there's no point in me staying there. I just want to quit. And, you know,
I don't like the wallpaper.
Yeah, as an hourly employee in the state of Texas, this is an at-will state. So if a company wants to dismiss you for whatever reason, they can. And if you want to quit for whatever reason, you can't. You don't have to give notice because I've worked with so many hourly employees. When they get ready to quit, they give the company a two-week notice. And I keep telling them, don't give notice. You don't have to. I said a two-week notice is for like an executive or something. You have to give them time to.
You know, I have felt like horrible because when I was in Dallas, I didn't give Steinmart, that was near my school, a two-week notice when I got my apartment in Sherman.
That's not
sponsored. I have felt bad. Because I'm a two-week notice person.
No, Bethany.
And I have felt bad because I didn't get an opportunity to.
Bethany, listen.
The top-level manager hired me. I literally walked in there with shorts and a Jackson State T-shirt on. just to bring my application back. And he interviewed me and hired me on the spot in jeans.
Okay,
in
but
and a Wednesday shirt. And I'm like, oh, my God, I owe them. I should have given them a...
No, you don't owe them anything. No. If you will read that information, because prior to taking a job, you have to read all this stuff and you have to sign it. You know, say, I agree with it.
Right.
I've read this and I understand. And if you will look at that, it says... You do not have to give notice for anything. Don't be feeling guilty, because they don't feel guilty when they let you go.
Right.
I've worked on these jobs, and I've seen these stupid people give two-week notice. And what happens? You go to break, or if you go to lunch, when you come back, your desk is cleaned out, and security is waiting to walk you out the building. So why would you give notice? You know, they don't have any respect for you. They don't care nothing about you. You know, you just somebody over there occupying a seat. And they feel like as soon as you leave, they can put somebody else in that seat and maybe pay them less than what they were paying you. So no, but I have tried and tried and tried to get this through. Somewhere down the line, some young people have probably been watching TV or went to a movie and saw something where they've handed, you know, in the movie, the person handed in a two-week notice or a month's notice or whatever. But I'm like, this is an at-will state. You don't have to do that.
Right.
And then when they come back from break or from lunch, they got that little box over there and secure. And that's what, you know, something else I don't like. Why you got to have security escorting people out the building? Well, they think you're going to see or something. Yeah, you ain't got, huh?
Yeah, one more minute. I scheduled the show for an hour, so I'm glad it went into 2 hours. We have one more minute.
Oh,
so any conclusion, any closing remarks?
None. I've talked enough.
But next Sunday on 4th of July, we're talking history, hot topics, and COVID. You're focusing on the strain. Strain?
Okay.
Which strain are you focusing on, Cousin Linda?
Huh?
Which strain?
That was
the
a warning.
Yes.
Okay, well, we'll talk about the new strain of COVID next Sunday.
Yes, and Independence Day and travel fun. We'll talk more about travel and shopping. Cousin Linda, shopping. Oh, my God, every holiday, huh?
That's all they do on holidays is have sales, wanting people to come shop.
And do you know some people are finished with their Christmas shopping now? There are people that finish their Christmas shopping in July.
Well, you know they have those sales called Christmas in July.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And they say they observing the birth of Christ. Really?
Right.
That's what
posting on social media. Definitely would love to talk to those people that finish their Christmas shopping so early.
I don't understand why, you know, the Christmas thing just baffles my mind. They say they're celebrating the birth of Christ. And if you look in the scriptures, you don't see nothing like what's going on in the scriptures.
Right.
Now, y'all, if you fool yourself and say, yeah, you celebrating the birth of Christ, if you know, if that's what makes you feel good, you go ahead and tell that lie. You are celebrating what you want to celebrate and something that makes you feel good. And you 9 times out of 10 are giving a gift because you want to get a gift in return.
Right.
I'm sorry to feel that way, but that's just how I see it. I don't see nothing celebrating Jesus' birth.
Right.
And he wasn't born in December, no way. And certainly not on December 25th. But is your time up?
Yeah, our time is up because usually the show cut us off, but it'll let us, you and I, continue to talk in private. Mm-hmm. Good for us to go ahead and conclude. You all email us at CultureShockEntertainment, KULTRESHOKENT_Beth@yahoo.com. And the guest call-in number is 516-5959? Yes, it's over now, Cousin Linda. Yeah. Are you on?
Oh, okay.
Okay, now
I'm
we're
on,
in
yeah,
private. So, yeah, it just said thank you. So instead of an hour, we went to 2 hours. So,
okay.
Yay. So okay, hopefully we can hear more good news of survivors concerning this condominium building. And hopefully we'll have more to go on and talk about that. But, yeah. Hopefully we won't have any bad stories next Sunday and can focus on uplifting stories.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll try to do the positive stuff next Sunday.
But you're right. We need to talk about that COVID. We need to talk about the strain. And I'm so glad you mentioned the job market. And congratulations. Mm-hmm. You have to sound like a really good top-level, good-paying job, too.
Well, it's with a company called Mechanics Bank, and they're new to this market.
What's the name of the
company? And Mechanics Bank.
Oh.
They're headquartered in California.
Oh.
And they recently moved to the Dallas area.
California.
And I'm hoping, a lot of stuff, is coming in from California. That's why our cost of living then got so high. Some folks in California, they earn a lot of money and they have to pay a lot of taxes. When they come to Texas and they find, where they've been paying, we'll just say $2,500 to $3,000 a month in rent for a little bitty apartment where they have to buy their own appliances and have to pay first and last month's rent before they move in. And they come here and see these nice Dallas apartments and the appliances are all here. There's no state income tax, so that's a whole chunk of money. That's about 8% more added to their check. And, it seems like everything is cheap to them. So as they come in here and look at a $1,700 a month one-bedroom apartment and think that's cheap. So that, drives up the cost of living for everybody else. Food in the grocery stores is cheaper here than in California. Gasoline is cheaper here than California. So, quite a few companies from California have moved here. So I'm looking forward to my new job and hope everything goes well.
Yeah, sound like it will. Hopefully you hear from them Monday.
Well, Monday I got to go meet this guy to do whatever it is for my fingerprinting. And then I got to have something notarized, and then I'll start on July 12th.
Oh, well, that's good.
Mm-hmm. Yep, so I'm keeping it quiet. I haven't told anybody.
Yeah, you broke that exclusive news live on air on the podcast, right? But you didn't say the name, and I keep it private.
Yeah, because I hadn't told Mildred or nobody.
Right.
I
want to
wait.
Just like Mama. Mama believes in keeping things. She's like, you don't want to jinx anything. keep it private.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, cuz. I'm going to go ahead and let you go. I got a few things I need to do here. And I'll be probably seeing some stuff online from you, or you'll be seeing stuff that I posted or whatever. And we'll talk next Sunday.
And I'm creating the show now, so you'll receive that in about 10 minutes.
Okie dokie.
Okay, then. Thank you so much. Oh, love you. Okay.
Love you, too. Okay. Bye-bye. I can't hang that up.
I was on my podcast when you just called me. I had been on 7, me and Cousin Linda. Yes. And that's what I was going to say. I know Poochie. Okay, and I'll get to the bank on Monday morning to get gas money. Yes. Okay, I'll be ready for you.